The announcements that Brother Nauman usually makes, I didn't hear him make this morning. That is to turn off your cell phones or put them on vibrate so it doesn't interfere with the worship. And I'd like to add to that, cut off your coughs. I'm hoping I'll do that as well. We appreciate your presence this morning. We have a number of our members not here this morning, but we look forward to them recovering and getting better, certainly. And we look forward to our study this morning. One of the great blessings that God has given His people in the local congregation is to have elders in the congregation. And where we do not have elders, we have the church as our oversight. As individuals, we need to be among the sheep of God's flock. And we need the oversight of a congregation in the work that we do, in the life that we live. And sometimes the way that the congregation shows that oversight is by the process of discipline, church discipline. I think we see that we have some who've fallen away, and as we consider their needs and our responsibility to them, we want to be sure that we're all on the same page together. Many, many times, there's a great deal of controversy over discipline because people have relatives and loved ones and friends that don't want to go along with that. But it is a Bible plan, I believe, that is important to redeem those who've fallen away. And so we want to talk about that this morning as the blessing of that. And I didn't particularly choose this background, so I hope it doesn't make you too dizzy. But when we talk about discipline, there's an ongoing discipline all the time in the way that we study together. As we study the Bible and receive that into our hearts, God is disciplining us, helping us understand how we ought to live and how we ought to act toward one another. And members of the church then are to be taught, that we are to be encouraged and admonished as we have the need to do that, and of course warned if we are in serious difficulty, and also to be corrected. And so I put myself under the oversight of a congregation, recognizing that we all have this need. And as we think about one another and our desire to get to heaven, we want to do the very best that we can. So if you look with me in Ephesians chapter 4, we have the Lord's plan for members of the church helping one another and doing the things they can to correct one another. In Ephesians chapter 4, beginning of verse 11, Paul is talking about what God put into the church for this. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, to all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I think that's one of the most blessed statements that you can read in the Bible, that we would come to a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. But that's what we do with one another. And as we come together in a congregation, one of the things we're doing is edifying each other and remembering that we have that responsibility. Then in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 2, the Apostle Paul added, to preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. And those are just some of the things that we do to one another as the Word of God is taught and as we submit to the Word of God. First of all, the idea of discipline is a command from God. We ignore that to our own peril. It is part of God's plan for God's people to recognize that sometimes we need correction. So in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6, you have the admonition of the Apostle Paul. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and in verse 6, but we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. In my mind, when I read this, I think of Gomer Pyle. He was never able to be in step. Every time you looked at that show and he would be in a platoon marching, he'd always be the one that's out of step. And we understand what that means in the literal sense with regard to walking disorderly. But there's a spiritual thing of being disorderly when we're out of step with the brethren. I understand being in step is to be in fellowship with the local church, to fulfill our covenant together, to watch over and edify one another, and to be all that we can be. And I would really like to think that if I did something wrong, some of you would care enough to come and try to correct me, because that's one of the blessings that we have in Christ together. Then with regard to the church at Corinth, most of us are very familiar with the scandal that broke out in the church there. Such a scandal, Paul said, that it never didn't even occur among the Gentiles, that one man would live with his mother's wife. And as these things were considered, he commanded them to withdraw from that person. He said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you're gathered together, that it's a church function, along with my spirit and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Now, if you stop there, you really wouldn't get the whole idea of what this is about, because the rest of the verse says that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. We care about one another, and we look to be sure that we edify one another. We build each other up, and that's the meaning of edification. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, we know from what has been recorded by Paul that this brother came to repentance. And as he came to repentance, we're taught in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 in verse 9 that this was a test of the church. To this end I also wrote that I might put you to the test whether you're obedient in all things. And he talked about the one being forgiven was something that accomplished God's will in that. So this is the forward thinking that we do when we lose some member of the church, that we do what we can to bring them back to God. And this whole idea of discipline is really an expression of God's love. The book of Hebrews chapter 12, after we've given the list of the saints in chapter 11, as you look at chapter 12, he talks about the fact that some need discipline, and this is how God does that to show his love. In chapter 12 and verse 5, you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you're rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. And so if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons, for what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you're without chastening, by which all have become partakers, then you're illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we had human fathers who corrected us and paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chasten us as it seemed best to them, but he for your profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. And in these verses you see the whole picture in God's mind of what it means to chastise in order to bring people back to their first love again. And this shows the love that God has for us. He deals with us for our good. The word love in the New Testament, as you probably know, is from the word agape, which is the godly love. God so loved the world that he gave his son. And that agape doesn't mean just an emotion, but it means the exercise of will to give to each one what they need. And sometimes you give people just the simple love and fellowship, and that's all good. But sometimes they need a little bit more with regard to discipline, and we have to provide that as well. And not only that, but in Matthew 18, Jesus has taught us that even if somebody sins against us, that we go to them. We're not just going to write them off. It's the matter, certainly not a matter of vengeance or disgust. It's a matter of bringing them back to the the Lord. And so if someone has sinned against you, you go to them privately. And if that doesn't work, you take them back with a witness. And if that doesn't work, tell it to the church. And so we're telling it to the church because all of us have tried to reach the two that we're talking about. And they've not responded. So we tell it to the church that it's something that we must do to show God's love, that we do not simply allow them to drift away. Through my years of preaching, I've seen that happen a lot of times. Brethren don't like to practice discipline. And what happens a lot of times is that brethren just sort of quit coming and nobody misses them. And so they just sort of fade away. And someday you say, well, I wonder where Brother so-and-so is. Well, they haven't been here for months and months. And so if we have a real love for our brethren, we're not going to be like that. We'll try to understand. And one of the side effects, if you'd call it, of this is that it keeps the church pure, in that we recognize that I have a life to live. And the life that I live is in keeping with the calling, as Paul has taught us, that we be holy as God is holy. And we don't live in such a way that the church at Corinth did. They all knew what this brother had done. They knew what he was doing. And he called them puffed up. They were angry in some way. They were maybe self-righteous, puffed up with self-righteousness, but they never dealt with it. And so one of the dangers that a church today has, and you find that many churches really don't practice a lot of discipline, is that we need to go the last mile, that God tells us to do that. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, again, Paul was saying that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And when someone falls away, it depreciates from each one of us. We're part of the body of Christ together, and we've lost a member. Something has happened to some of our brethren, and we need to be aware of that. We need to care about that and do what we can to make it different. And Deuteronomy chapter 13 and verse 5 adds to that. I'll not go and read that in the Old Testament this morning, but the idea of keeping the church pure. One of the designations for the church is the bride of Christ. And the idea in the word bride of Christ, as it deals with the church, is it emphasizes the purity of the church. As a bride is to be pure for her husband, so also the church is to be pure for the groom, who is Christ. And you have the verses that tell us how we are to keep ourselves pure and to send the correct message. In the first century church, there was a couple named Ananias and Sapphira who lied to the Holy Spirit. And they did that privately, but Peter and the Holy Spirit made it a public thing. And as they practiced the discipline of the Holy Spirit, both of those people died because they lied to the Holy Spirit. It says that nobody else would even dare to belong to the church, because if you're going to be a hypocrite, I'm not going there, because they don't allow that sort of thing to take place in the church. So it has to do with the reputation of the congregation. Are we serious about our purity? Are we serious about our souls? Do we care that some of our members are not living as they should? And so we have to recognize that we can't just ignore a situation like that. And 1 Timothy chapter 5 adds a little bit of information to that. In chapter 5 in verse 20, those who are sinning rebuke in the presence of all, that the rest may also fear. And that's one of the reasons why a faithful Christian would say, I don't want to lose my membership in the church. I don't want to be withdrawn from. I don't be one of those that's just fallen away. And it would make others be more sincere in the way that we live in harmony with the gospel of Christ. And also to the unbelieving world, as we mentioned in Acts chapter 5, the people who knew about the church, this was not something done in secret. This was something done so that the world knew what the church was doing. And then the sinners, those who are ungodly, said, well, I won't go there because they won't let me do what I want to do. And so they weren't interested in the gospel. And I must say, there's an element of the world that feels that way. They're not going to be bound by the gospel of Christ. They're not going to be bound by someone else's think so. They want to do what they want to do. And the end result is to save the erring brother, to recognize that we're not dealing with just some kind of a social situation. We're not talking about just a club, but we're talking about the soul of someone. And James deals with that in James chapter 5. If you'll turn there and begin with verse 19, James said, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. And that's the goodness that you feel when you practice discipline. It's not showing vengeance. It's not showing hatred. It's not showing anything bad. It's an expression of the love of God plus an expression of the love of the church. And that needs to be made very clear in the process. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 again, we have to recognize that that was Paul's reason for exposing the scandal that was in Corinth to try to bring that brother back. Now, in that situation, he came back. And Paul had to admonish the church, now that they're back, you forgive them. They've been forgiven. And that's not to be held against them. So that would be something that we would want to do as well. And Paul added this in 2 Thessalonians with regard to the attitude that we have to one another. In chapter 3, beginning of verse 14, and if anyone does not obey our word by this epistle or in this epistle, note that person, do not keep company with him that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. And that's simply the whole part of discipline. And we need to be together in that, because it would show a unity of us that we're really trying to do the best we can to get to heaven. This is a serious thing. We're not just playing church. We're not just having a social agreement among us. We're talking about living in such a way that we look at one another. And I feel like the local church, my brethren, near and far, are a good way to be sure that we're living right. And to do that, well, with that in mind, I would recommend that everybody place themselves under the oversight of a local church. Don't be a member at large, but to be recognized that I need the admonition and the love and concern of my brethren. And if I go wrong in some way, there's going to be a host of people that's going to try to correct me. And that's a good thing. So all through the years, I've tried to teach what the Bible teaches on discipline. And I've seen it work in good ways. And I've seen it not work. The reason it does not work is because of the sinner who rebels against God and does not really take advantage of the blessings of God to keep them the way they ought to be. So this is our subject this morning, because I think coming the next business meeting evening, on Sunday evening next week, that we need to talk about this as brethren, and be sure that we're all together and practice discipline in the spirit of love to bring back those who are not with us. We've sent them letters, and it's been non-responsive. So we've shown our concern and our love, and just we're going to keep on doing that. We do the God's will. If you're present this morning and not a member of the body of Christ, we'd like to encourage you to become a member today. If you're not a member of a congregation, we invite you to come and work and worship with us, because we truly are trying to go to heaven. We want to do what's right, not only for ourselves, but I want you watching out on my behalf. I want you to be the kind of person that would not talk about my back if I do something wrong, but would come to me because you want to save my soul. And that's the kind of association with Christ and the fellowship that I want to be a part of. If you need to respond to the gospel of Christ this morning, we ask that you sincerely think about these things, make a decision about your service to Christ, that you want it to be the most effective. And if you need to come forward and state your views, we'd be happy to have you this morning. As we stand together, let us sing the song selected. Free.